Really good stuff. We'll get Kirk Morrison on in just a second as we go behind enemy lines. A former Raiders linebacker by way of San Diego State, by way of Oakland, California, Bishop O'Dowd, 5'2", a friend of the program. He'll join us in a second here. This is a big game, Shasky.
Bunt it.
This is a huge, 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 huge game.
I'm gonna bring up the private show, the show within the show within the show at the break. What were you muttering? Are you willing to say it on air?
What was I muttering?
You've got some question marks on this team, on this offense, on this quarterback.
No, I don't put me like that. No, I'm just saying.
Right before we went to the break.
Be careful. Try to pay this guy $60 million a year.
Hold
up. Be careful. Let's get 5-2-1. I'll explain after. I'm just saying.
What do you mean you're just saying? A week ago, he was playing better football than Joe Burrow, which you said.
He did over the last year.
Okay, so.
But these limitations seem to catch up with 49er quarterbacks.
But,
that's all.
But one game and one interview and now.
No, it's not just one interview, man. No, it's not just one interview. I felt like this for a while. $60 million is a lot of money, which is why I don't want to talk about it. We're talking about resetting the quarterback market. That's fine. We can do that.
But no one's saying he's making $60 million for 12 years in a row. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
5-2. We got 5-2.
I'm here.
Let's go. He's ready to roll. He's in Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm just listening.
Hey, man. Hey, we just had Kirk. Oh, by the way, Kirk Morrison, by way of the River Islands guest line, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. See, I'm in the foxhole up here, Kirk, because we're petrified to criticize Brock Purdy on anything. Like, we come out of the Minnesota game, we're having a conversation last hour. Brock Purdy, when it comes to losses, we go to Shanahan, we go to the receivers, we go to defense. It's never Purdy's fault. It's never, and I don't like to play the blame game at all. But yeah. Purdy, we just had Patrick Peterson on, and he's breaking down the film, and maybe you did too, where everything is predicated in the middle of the field into a passing game. I'm sure you heard the Jay Gruden comments about the Shanahan passing game, where he's like, you know, I loved them on first and second down, but on third down, I'm not looking at Shanahan's passing game getting blown away by it. Actually, I'm not impressed by it. What do you see in the Shanahan passing game? Are you impressed by it? Are you kind of sitting back saying, boy, if you could just take away the middle of the field, you got them in the pass game?
100%. I mean, but you got to think, again, it's winning first and second down. That's how the 49ers have won. They've won first and second down. And they've gotten into some manageable third downs where you can play the entire field. When you get to have third longs, it's a little bit different. You're forcing your quarterback to have to find the open guy. Can he go through the progressions? Will he have enough time to go through those progressions? And so, yeah, obviously the middle of the field is where George Kittle has feasted for many years, okay? And in this offense, a little bit different when you don't have that opportunity when you have those third and long. I think it kind of goes back to what I call, and I've been telling people now, there's a fear of Cinderella. Cinderella, one of the great movies of all time, but there is a fear of Cinderella, meaning that Brock Purdy, at some point, we feel like the carriage is going to turn into a pumpkin. We're just kind of sitting back and waiting because we see these games where you want your quarterback to take over and put it on his shoulders, and yet a game like Minnesota, if someone asked me who had never seen football last week, think about this, fellas. Right, Joe? Bonte. If you had never watched football last week and you turned on the tape and watched the Vikings and the 49ers, the better quarterback was Sam Darnold, right? You would say the quarterback in purple was the better quarterback. And that's what people keep going back to. It should never be that way. When you guys talk about $60 million a year, is okay, I want to see that. And look, it's not just Brock Purdy. I talk about all the quarterbacks like this. But right now, he is the topic of discussion because we are in a time, and I don't care what people write or whatever out there in the Bay Area, because I read it all. This string of games without Debo, without Christian McCaffrey, without some of the guys, this is all on Brock Purdy. This is the biggest year of Brock Purdy's career. We know that. But this is the 49ers will win on Sunday if number 13 in red has the game that we expect. This can't be on the defense. It can't be. I want to see Brock Purdy take over, and I haven't seen it enough.
Well, that's That's a fair point. I think most people, reasonable people, think he's really good. How good is a question mark, right? Like, you know what I mean? I don't think he's a bum, and I definitely don't think he's the best quarterback in the league. But I think on any given day, there's a variety of quarterbacks. I'd throw Dak into this same kind of boat. On any given day, Dak can have a monster game and will you to a victory, and he can also throw a couple up and lose you one, as he's done in the playoffs over and over again. But I think, like, for example, and I'm just using Dak because he makes a lot of money, I think he's a really 100%. Good player, and you can win 10, 11, 12 games with him pretty much yearly if he stays upright. I just think there's a lot more quarterbacks in the Brock, Goff, Tua, Dak category than there are Mahomes, Josh Allen, right? And I just think that we're viewing everything through the Mahomes prism. I'd throw Stafford in there. Like, Stafford on his great days can will his team to win, but he also throws a lot up, man, and he gets banged up a lot because he holds on to that ball. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a really good player. The guy's probably a Hall of Famer, but I don't know. I think we could say that about 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the league right now, and I'd rather be one of those than be one of the ones searching for one.
No, I mean, points are valid there. I totally agree with some of those points. But I think at the end of the day, we've also seen a larger sample size, right? Especially with Matthew Stafford, he's larger sample size. I think Dak Prescott, same thing, larger sample size. Yeah. But when it comes to Brock Purdy, we're still thinking about it. And then you still got buyer's remorse. I mean, I really feel like, you know, Brandon Ayuk walked in there, robbed the 49ers with no mask on. And now you're stuck with a contract of like, man, is this going to be the player or not? I think that's also something that's in the back of the mind of a lot of people as well. Is, okay, you've got the weapons now. It's not like Brock Purdy doesn't have the weapons. He's got them. Can he make this team go? And that's all it is. Week in and week out, you got one of the best defenses in the league. I think we want to see more statistically. We want to see more where the 49ers won because of Brock Purdy, not despite Brock Purdy, if that makes sense.
No, I get that.
No doubt.
I get that. Look, I want to bring up the Ayuk thing because that's fascinating. Similar, I think he's really good. I don't know if he's one of the top 4 or 5 wide receivers, and I think that he's benefited from a lot of things that the Niners have on offense. CMC, the spacing, Debo, Kittle, quarterback's accuracy, play action. But I also think he's really good, and I don't want to diminish how good he is. But I argued with Bonte, it's like I don't know if it's a sound business strategy, unless you're going to adapt how you play football, to invest $60 million in 2 wide receivers when you're hell-bent on getting to 35 rushes every single game. You know, like, I think that that's a team-building question more than it is an IU question. You say he robbed the Niners. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because I didn't know he turned into Jerry Rice. Like, all summer long, it was like, Brandon Ayuk this, Brandon Ayuk that. And I felt like, look, yes, it was a boom in wide receiver contracts. We see that. But when I look around at Justin Jefferson, obviously it's a difference when Justin Jefferson's on the field. Nico Collins, we saw it the other day with the Houston Texans. There are guys that when they're on the field, you know. A lot of times we got to wait. Is Ayuk on the field today or right this series? Like, sometimes you don't know because here comes Juwan Jennings making a play. Here comes some other people, and you're like, okay, there goes Ayuk on an 11-yard comeback or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to just I call a spade, man. I'm a guy who watches the entire football game, and I really believe that for Ayuk, he has to play much bigger than where he's at right now. And I get it. He's we can have the excuse of he's done no training camp. He's still getting into shape and all that stuff. But this is what the NFL is. You come in, you got to play and be ready to roll.
Is that a product of Shanahan's offensive system? The passing game where he doesn't necessarily, it seems like they game plan for Debo a little more than Ayuk, or what would Ayuk look like? Say if he's on the LA Rams playing with Matthew Stafford, would he produce a 1,300-yard season? How would McVay use him? Can he be that guy?
Oh, he would cook because McVay is going to scheme you up. He's going to find ways to get you the football regardless. And that's why it's going to be fun this weekend because there is no Puka Nacua. There is no Cooper Kupp. And yet you're going to have receivers like a Tyler Johnson, DeMarcus Robinson, right, are now your number one guys going into this week. And then Jordan Whittington, who's a rookie. So they'll find ways to scheme those guys up. And I want to see how does, Matthew Stafford get it going. Because I think if Ayuk was in this offense, they would find ways to just get him the football more and more. But what scares me the most about the Niners is when Debo Samuel is on the field. And I told people, look at the receiver on Netflix. I mean, it showed you. If you watch that documentary on Netflix, for people out there listening, just watch it. The 49ers, I won't say the offense was in shambles, but it's a different offense without Deebo Samuel in the lineup. So now you possibly may not have George Kittle as well. And this is, remember, with Christian McCaffrey. Now, this is offense doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. This is a scary season right now for the 49ers in the early parts. I'm not going to say, hey, this make or breaks their season. But what I'm saying is that they may have to just tread water just to get in the tournament. If the 49ers make the playoffs, there's no, to me, look, they're still a Super Bowl type of team. But this domination of being the number one seed and winning the division and all that, I don't know if that's what I want for the 49ers. I feel like they need to play more with a chip on their shoulder. Because last year, the expectations, if you want to be real, the expectations of, and look, George Kittle said it even in the receiver. Like, this is our best team. We should win. Everybody. I feel like the 49ers are a better team when they underdogs and favorites.
Kirk Morrison here on the River Islands guest line. Do you think this offense would have been able to function without Brandon Ayuk, with you saying that about number 11? Because we went back and forth for all training camp, and Kirk, we talked about Brandon Ayuk. You hit me with the same line. Like, where'd he turn into Jerry Rice? So what if they did trade him to Pittsburgh? What if they did trade him to Pittsburgh and didn't have Brandon Ayuk? Now, it would be scary this week because no Deebo, no McCaffrey, no Kittle, and all of a sudden no Ayuk. Like, damn, who they're going to throw the ball to? But would this offense still be able to function at a high level if they didn't have number 11 at the wide receiver spot?
Yeah, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan told you that by drafting a receiver in the first round. I mean, that ain't rocket science. You don't draft a receiver in the first round because, oh, we want to develop him. No, that's why you draft Danny Gray, right? And you hope that they develop into a spot. You draft a receiver in the first round, you're saying, hey, we're going to replace the guy that's there. We've already moved on. Now, look, this is how the perfect storm had worked out. Ricky Pearsall, obviously, you know, we know what happened in San Francisco, I want to talk about, but just his injury history has not allowed him to be on the field before then. And so now it kind of opened the door for an IU opportunity. But I think the 49ers, I already told you, when you draft a receiver in the first round, you're not drafting him to develop. You're drafting him to play right away. So obviously they had already said, we can insert anyone into this offense, especially at the wide receiver position.
All right, Kirk, I love you. Yeah. You know I do. I love going back and forth. But
always.
I mean, and I get we're picking apart things. But if I'm driving around the Bay Area right now, I'm listening to you talk. The Niners won 13 games. Okay, 6 in 2020. 10 games. 13 games. 12 games last year. They've won 8 playoff games. 8 playoff games in a 5-year span. They've been wildly successful. I'm listening to this rhetoric, and I get what you're saying. Like, we're talking about winning the ultimate one, and that's where we start to really critique it. But, like, we act like they've not been spectacular. They've been spectacular. In fact, they've been dominant.
This is the price you pay for being a really good team.
I know, but the way we're talking about them, and I'm listening, and I get why we're doing this. We're picking apart certain things, and I get that. I believe me, I understand that. But, like, they have flaws. Like, the drop-back passing game is not perfect. But what they've done has been wildly successful. So when I listen to all, and not just yourself, but just other people complain and this and that, and, like, I'm frustrated. I want to win it. I'm sad as hell we didn't win it last year. But, like, it's hard to knock them. They've been so freaking good.
I mean, Shasky, is that what the Kyle Shanahan's, when his, at some point, how long he coaches for the 49ers, it's going to be the we almost got it done. Is that not what the mantra is going to be?
I know. That part kills me.
Hey, you can say that same thing about the Baltimore Ravens too, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, they've been solid. They've been great. But at the end, I mean, they got a 2-time MVP on their team. They're in a similar situation as the 49ers.
But I would say that we've actually won high-level playoff games. They finally won one this year. Like, I just feel a little different. The Niners won 8 playoff games. Like, they lost because Mahomes in overtime. It's not like they got smoked off the field in the NFC Championship game.
They wounds, though, when they lost those games. You keep saying, well, Mahomes. Watch how those games played out. The Niners crapped the bed on those biggest stages. You don't – they don't – they pick off Patrick Mahomes and they don't score?
I just think the margin is so thin.
Like, just come on, man. I mean, I don't even want to talk about how overtime started, right?
Right. You know, we didn't even know the rules.
Didn't even know the rules. Come on, Joe. Come on, Shasky. Maybe
you're talking to the guy that was screaming in the media area. You got to score 7 here. Like, you cannot give him the ball back. I was screaming, man. Do not kick a field goal. This is 4-down territory. So trust me, I'm well aware.
What are we doing?
Yeah, Brian, how's this game going to play out on Sunday, man? Because this is the walking wounded. We don't even know if George Kittle's going to play. He's got hamstring tightness.
Right.
Bosa sat out practice yesterday with the rib injury. Charvarius Ward was saying that, hey, they were just being cautious with him, but I'm sure McVay and company are saying, oh, well, let's test him. Let's see how sore he is on the outside there. How's this game going to play out, man? We know it's going to be a bunch of Niner fans, and Niners have had the Rams' number in the regular season, but the Rams have that one in the NFC Championship game. How's this going to play out on Sunday, man? Because nobody's talking about the Rams or giving them a shot.
Yeah, and I love that position for them. Again, I think this game comes down to number 13 in red and number 9 in the white jersey this weekend. That's what it comes down to. Ooh. This is a quarterback game. This is what I always say. When the seas are rocky, do you have a captain that can help you keep calm, can bring the ships home and not be the Titanic? That's what you pay Matthew Stafford for, and that's what the 49ers are going to eventually pay Brock Purdy for. It's these types of moments. It's these types of games. Because everyone's going to tell you how you can't win, but these quarterbacks can keep you in the game and help you win. So at the end of the day, when y'all texting me on Sunday night at the game, after the game is over, let's just look at the box score. That's what's going to tell. We're going to see whether Brock Purdy's day or Matthew Stafford's day. There's going to be some unbelievable plays. Look, you know, Fred Warner is like watching Picasso right now, dude. I watch the defensive film, and I swear, I just sit back and I just have a smile on my face watching 54 run around on the field for the 49ers. He may be my X factor in if the 49ers win this game, because he's literally dominating the games. And you could tell in his press conference, like we're doing all that we can. We got to win. You know what I mean? But look, I would say this. We're only a couple weeks into the season. There's no reason to overreact, panic. The first 4 weeks of the season, I always say, are truly a preseason game. All these dudes had, you know, fitted caps on the sideline, tennis shoes during preseason. It takes 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even a month, before we really find out who these teams really are. But this is a big game, Kirk, because it's a measuring stick on both sides.
No, Kirk, it's your season on the line. Like, let's just call it what it is. You got a million guys on IR.
Let's keep the same energy.
If you guys go 0-3, your season's over. Over!
Well, they went 3-6 last year, and then I went to the bye week and then ran a table and went 7-1. So I don't know how much over it can be.
Ran the table, lost in the playoffs.
Everybody but me around here said, oh, man, you want to avoid the Rams in the NFC playoffs. Oh, you better watch out for the Rams. So the energy was very different. You're right about that. Hey, Kirk, man.
Oh, come on, man.
It's all fun.
Kirk, I'm not going to let you get away with that. You know that. I got to stand my ground. This is a stand my ground city.
Trust me, man. Like, look, everybody over here, you know, in Los Angeles is talking about Shohei Ohtani, right? Like, and that,
I hate
to
him.
Me, still,
tell him I hate
yeah,
him.
I know. He should have been a giant. I get it, but you know, that's what we got to hear down in Los Angeles, right? So, look, I'm just looking forward to a big game. Obviously, 49er faithful are going to be out loud and proud. It's going to be a fun matchup. You know, I think that we'll know more about each team after this weekend and what we think about the quarterbacks. And then, obviously, what may have to happen when the trade deadline comes up, because, man, that thing is coming fast and quick.
Yeah, ooh, it's going to be some movement there. Real quick, Arizona. You watch a film at Arizona. All training camp, I was like, man, something's cooking down there in Glendale, man. I think they got a good program rolling on. Are they a team we're going to need to be watching here down the stretch, Arizona?
Man, so when I do my training camp tour, sat down with, you know, Kyler and Coach Jonathan Gay and Drew Petzig, they just quietly going about their business. Like, they just, you know what I mean? Like, they like the role that they're in. And it was something about how they finished last season that's all they kept talking about. Like, when Kyler Murray got back and the confidence that the coaching staff and the team had in him, he is healthy. They got a running game. They got one of the best young receivers in the game in Marvin Harrison Jr. And they got a defense where Buda Baker is balling, y'all. Oh, he balling. Like, this is a scary football team. You saw it in week 1 and what they did to the Bills. They should have won that game. They lost, and they should have won that game. But, man, last week, dude, that dude, Kyler Murray, he put on the clinic last week. And he was like, I wasn't even trying to run. I'm just trying to make plays. that dude still has the speed. He still got the arm, and he got some weapons to work with now, tight ends and wide receivers, and an offensive line that they've invested in the draft. So they're one of those teams, like, kind of watch out. Only thing is, I want to see, can they still create a pass rush, right? The pass rush, you know, they don't have a lot of guys. They lost Ojulari right before the season. Mm-hmm. But if they can develop a pass rush, and we know how it is when Cardinals-Niners link up, it's always that one game, you're like, uh-oh, here come the Cardinals. Well, that may be that this season.
You know, what ends up happening in November when the new Call of Duty gets released, that's going to be the true test for Kyler. But Kirk, I respect it. You sold hard today. Them Wolf tickets you're selling on the Rams, bro, because your season is cooked if you lose to us on Sunday. 0-3, and you're going to trade Stafford. Let's go. I hear you. I can hear it in the back of your voice. We'll see what happens in the trade deadline, i.e., maybe we move Stafford.
Sassy, on Monday, don't be talking about, let's talk about Warriors training camp upcoming after this game.
Jimmy Buckets is available.
We'll be begging for a trip to Hawaii for training camp, that's for sure.
He already talking about Warriors training camp on Monday after Saturday.
I'm actually going to be talking about Giants GM search.
Yeah, no, he's in baseball mode. He's still taking
it's
Giants.
Football.
The Giants fans are now being under delusion. Well, if we offer Soto $600 million.
Stop.
Hey, 5-2.
Kirk, hey,
them the Wolf tickets that we need to talk about. They're throwing out all this fake money to all these players who ain't coming.
Oh, man. Hey, go visit the original KFC out there while you're in Louisville. Will you do it? Let me know how it is.
I am. I got off the airplane last night, walked over. I'm like, oh, Colonel Sanders. They really got like the Colonel Sanders like statue up. I'm like, it's real out here in Louisville.
You ever seen the South Park where Cartman is it's like Scarface? It's all time good about KFC. It's the best.
5-2, man. See, you're Kirk. The best, Kirk, man. Always love talking to you, man. Have fun. Have a good call tomorrow. Georgia Tech in Louisville. Then we'll see you Sunday when you're back in LA for Rams and Niners.
All right, sounds good, fellas. Anytime, man. Y'all be good. Have a good weekend.
You too, Kirk. You too, man. Kirk Morrison, 8-year NFL vet, former Raider, Bishop O'Dowd, ESPN broadcaster, Rams NFL pre- and post-game show. Let me just tell you right now, this is a must-win for Shanahan, a must-win for Purdy, a must-win for Ayuk, and a must-win for 49er fans, because they lose this game, Monday's going to be chaotic. It is going to be all-time chaotic. Round the alarms. My pets' heads are falling off. The sirens and everything.
What
they lose this game on. I'm telling you, man.